Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. This is so good to be able to connect one more time, especially with everything that's going on in our society, especially in the United States. These weather patterns are just amazing. They were talking about an atmospheric river. Never learned that in school, but these things are happening within our society. But as we read the book, God's Word, we can see so many things coming in place. And I thank God for Jesus. Any amens out there, put it in the chat. Amen. Hallelujahs. God is so, so good. I just want to lift up. We've got a lot of bereaved families within Ebenezer. I want you to be in prayer for them, especially for the Rudd family. Dr. James Rudd passed away, went to see Jesus, and his funeral service will be on tomorrow, Monday the 13th. And it'll be right in Ebenezer. 12 o'clock will be the visitation time, and 1 o'clock will be the funeral. After that, the interment will take place in Ebenezer's cemetery, and then we will have a repast for the family. So we ask you to please, please lift them up in this time. So much, so many challenges, but God is faithful. I want to thank you for being those living epistles that walk forth and show forth how good God is. We're living in some dark times, and God wants us to be walking Bibles before Him. So as we're walking in that theme this year, I want you to be encouraged to get into God's Word. Speaking of that, we're going through our Bible reading plan. I pray that you are on the Bible bus with us. But if not, go to our website at ebcnc.com. That information is there where you can start reading the Bible on a regular basis. That is how the believer grows. I'm going to talk about that a little later. That's how we grow in the Lord. Don't forget about everything that's going on at Ebenezer. ebcnc.com. We have all that information there. On Mondays, we have Monday manna, different teachings. On Tuesday, we have noonday Bible study where we're going through the book of Genesis excerpts, and it's been very encouraging. And then on our Wednesday nights, we're in the book of Luke. That's our virtual connection also at 7 o'clock. And then we have an in-person service at 6 o'clock where we're going through the Johns. We're in 3rd John now, specifically learning about hospitality and how to reach out to others. Don't forget to pray for our 8:45, our 10:45 in-person services. God is doing wonderful things there also. And lift up this online ministry. It is reaching some far, far places. And I just thank the Lord for His Word and the Holy Spirit being our teacher and our guide, leading us into all truth. Finally, I want to thank you for your giving. Whether you're giving online by using our app, make sure you get that app, or you're giving in our in-person services, or you're sending into our secure mailbox. Whatever way the Lord is leading you, we thank you so, so much. I'm going to add another way. Maybe you're sending it by a family member. I had a family member go through that, and someone sent in their gifts of love through them, and it had not got to the church. And so I want to encourage you, and I thank you so much. However you're reaching out, that you are a blessing to Ebenezer. Well, I'm ready to get into the Word of the Lord today. If you see on my background, we're going to be dealing with going through storms and that whole thought. What do we do as believers as we're on the ship? We're kind of leaning. I'm telling you, I'm going to give you some helpful hints today as we get into the Scriptures, and we know that our God is faithful. Well, I'll see you soon.
13 through 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses favor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill can't be hidden. Nor do the light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven."
Amen. Today's poem is "Believe You Will Receive." Amen. God says, "Ask, and it shall be given. But do you seek so we can find? Do we not listen to God's talking as issues fall further behind? Have you faced major obstacles you've tried to handle on your own? Have you asked God to fix them? or further become withdrawn. When you pray and ask for help, you have to trust it will come through. Hold God to his written word. While in praying, you can do. Once you've prayed your request, let God take care of the rest. No matter how big or small, remember God can handle it all. Believe you will receive. Seek so you can find. Meditate, the doors will open. Then God will say, the issue is mine.
I think this song here that the Lord, the Spirit has placed in my mind to say, I thank you, Jesus. You can help me now. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Yes, you know you brought me. You brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Yes, you know you brought me from a mighty long way, a mighty, oh, yes, you've been my mother, you've been my father, you've been my sister and brother too. Lord, you know you brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty long way, a mighty long, oh, yes, you've been my mother, you've been my father, you've been my sister and brother too. Lord, you know you brought me from a mighty, mighty long way.
I am so glad that he brought us from a mighty long way. Any witnesses out there? The Lord has been so, so good. Thank you again as we're walking through this series, The Life of the Believer, and specifically what we should look like as a believer. On last Sunday, we got in some really serious things as we looked at our spiritual man and what that means to the outside world. That people are really looking for Christians, real, true Christians that are saved and love Jesus. So I encourage you to continue to walk in him. Our memory verse, we've been going over this each Sunday. Specifically, we read it aloud so it can get in our mind and seep down into our hearts. So if you can focus in on me at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to start reading at that second verse. Let's read aloud together. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Thank God for Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for giving us this life, for saving us and delivering us. Now, Lord, I just pray for those who are viewing, listening in. If someone's out there that's not saved, I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Lord, let them experience that, the wonders of you embracing them and the love, the agape love that you show for us all. Now, Lord, I welcome your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher, our guide. You lead us into all truth. Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for being God and God alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's scripture we want to focus in on comes from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to focus in with me on that 23rd verse. Hebrews 10 and 23. It reads, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. What a powerful scripture. Listen to that. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I want to speak from a title today, Hold Fast. Hold Fast. As I did some studying with this specific word, hold fast, within the scriptures, but also in history, it was very interesting on the background. The definition of hold fast is actually a nautical term that has its origins from the Dutch word houd vast, which translates to hold tight in regards to holding securely to ships, ropes, and rigging. I found this interesting because simply the word is expanded even further. It's the thought pattern of not you really just holding fast with both hands, but if you were on a ship and it was going through waves or storms and that ship was tilting, you would literally tie one hand down and make sure that you were anchored and the other hand would be free so you could assist other people. I'm telling you, that's a word right there. Literally, you would anchor yourself down with one hand and you would be able to reach out and assist others. Sometimes you see people that may be from a nautical background or others, or they just like hold fast and they'll put it on their hand. There'll be tattoos or other places of their body signifying that I got your back, that I'm going to make sure I'm anchored and I'm going to be there to help you out. Henceforth, this is the section and the foundation of this scripture. The time frame is about 64 to 68 AD. These Christians are really under pressure simply because they have accepted Jesus Christ, but there's a lot of pressure from the outside, the religious society, for them to give up their confession, to go back to old ways. And so the writer, led of the Holy Spirit, is encouraging them to stay focused on the Lord. In the previous verses before this verse we're going to transition in, the writer is talking about Jesus as our high priest and that he's our everything, and that as believers we have to stay close to the cross of Calvary in everything that happened for us. So let's pick up that 19th verse. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Here's our first point. Enter in. Yes, enter in. Now, I want to focus in on this Hebrews 10 and that 19th verse because it is so powerful as we are living this life as believers. We've got to make sure that we're constantly in the presence of the Lord, that we don't take for granted salvation, that we don't take for granted that we've been brought out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Now, all of us have a testimony of what God has done in our lives, but so many times we can be as Christians in the life of the believer and we can forget where God brought us from. And so I just want to take a little time for you to think back of all the wonders that God has done in your life. As we focus in at Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, the priest, specifically the high priest, he was only allowed to go in the holiest of holies, specifically one time a year. And in that, he had to make sure that he was making sacrifices for the people and also sacrifices for himself. Because if there was anything that was not right with him or the people as he went in and he didn't carry those things right, he actually could die in the presence of the Lord. And so in the New Testament, as the writer is bringing out by aid of the Holy Spirit, now we have a high priest, and his name is Jesus. An unnamed poet actually captured the thought of this scripture. It says, through the veil God bids me enter, by the new and living way, not in trembling hope I venture, boldly I his call obey. There with Christ my God I meet, God upon the mercy seat. All the worth I have before him is the value of the blood. I present, when I adore him, Christ, the first fruits unto God. Him with joy doth God behold, thus is my acceptance told. It is so good to know that as believers, literally, we can pray without ceasing. We can enter into the very holies of holies. We can worship him. And I encourage you, never ever take your position in Christ for granted, that you can call on him in a powerful way. I remember there was a time when I was a little child, I was probably about 11 years old. My mom was driving my sister and myself home from church, and there had been a snowstorm, and it had left ice patches on the road. And we went around a curve, and in that curve, mom lost control. The car started sliding, and it started going in 360. It just started going round and round and round in a circle. And at that moment, mom realized she couldn't control the car. She reached over and grabbed my sister, and she began to call on the name of Jesus. She literally, while she was in that car, realizing it was out of control, entered into the holies of holies. And I want you to know, the Lord showed up. He sent a minister and angel, steadied that car up. And after we all opened up our eyes, we were on the right side, going in the right direction. Won't God do it for you? That's that whole process of being able to call on Him and stay in His presence. Notice Hebrews 10:20 says, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh. These Christians in context, they had a good understanding of those Old Testament principles, and they're thinking about the high priest of the Old Testament, and that holies of holies would be behind a veil. In the New Testament, there was a veil that was put in the temple that I'm going to talk about that was thick. It was said that horses put on either side of it couldn't rip it, but it actually prevented just regular people from going into God's presence. But Jesus opens that up. His sacrifice on Calvary actually brought forth this new and living way. When He died for us, He secured our entrance into God's holies of holies. There ought to be some praise and worship in the place. When He died, he opened up a way into His presence. Let me show you in Matthew 27:50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. There's an exchange that's going to happen in Matthew 27:51. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised up. And that Matthew 27:53, and coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. I'm telling you, that is good news. Could you just put in the chat a new living way? Just put new living way. That is what Jesus has done for us as we're holding fast, as we're living this life as believers, and we're showing forth the light of God that dwells in us. Hebrews 10:21 goes on to describe the challenges that those that were in context and the struggles that they were going through, and we also can compare to our lives. It said, in having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Here's the point. Draw near to Jesus. Yes, draw near to Jesus. Now, as we look at that 22nd verse, it said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. I'm going to deal with that first part. God wants us, literally, He wants us to enter in, but He also wants us, when we enter in, to draw near. It's the picture some years ago, it's been now, one of my children came home from Ohio, and when they came home, it was a surprise to my wife, and she did. She drove up and she entered in the house, but then when she saw her mother, she drew near to her. She embraced her. There's something about entering in. Thank God that she could enter into the house, but to draw near to a loved one, that's what God wants. Some people just enter in. They're saved. They've been delivered. They're enter in. They're in the family, but they haven't drawn near to God to embrace Him. Theologian Farstead writes and gets the context of this. This is the believer's blood-bought privilege. How wonderful beyond all words that we are invited to have audience with this world's, not with this world's celebrities, but with the sovereign of the universe. Hear me again, that we are invited to have an audience not with this world's celebrities, but with the sovereign of the universe. The extent to which we value the invitation is shown by the manner in which we respond to it. What manner are you responding to this wonderful invitation that God is asking us as believers to enter into His presence and to draw near to Him? Please understand, some people get this thing confused, thinking that they can only enter in on Sunday when we come to the fellowship. But God is saying what He has done for us enables us to enter into His presence right now as we're connected one with another. But please understand, even when we're by ourselves, when we're feeling downtrodden, when we're struggling, we got to hold fast and know that God is faithful and enter into His presence. We must have a true heart. Can you put in the chat, true heart, wherever you're sitting at, just say true heart. Now this is critical, because we have a practical point here that these Christians that are going through struggles and tribulations, that they had to make sure that their heart was right. Jesus warns in Matthew 15:8, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Where is your heart? We've got to make sure that our hearts are true to the Lord. The believer also with a true heart has full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. I need a quick typer to just put that down. Full assurance of faith. We know that we are saved. Can you type save? I'm working you. I know. We know that we are saved. That does something on the inside of us to know that we have been delivered. We have been set free. When we leave this physical world, we know to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. We understand this holding fast. Ephesians 2:8 brings it out. For by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then it goes on to that Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in. I'm telling you, we have been blessed, and as believers, we hold fast to our confession of faith. We hold fast to the fact that God has opened up a broad territory for us to enter into Him and to be used in mighty ways. We've been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Robert Lowry in 1876 wrote this: what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I've done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. But there ought to be some praise and worshipers out there says, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:23. It says, because we know all of this high priest and who He is, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Here's another point. Our God is faithful. I love that. Our God is faithful. Can you just put in the chat, faithful, wherever you're sitting at, standing at, can you just say faithful? He is faithful. It is so good to know in this crazy world where people are faithless that God is faithful. The life of the believer is centered around the faithfulness of God. Yes, it is. It's centered around who God is and that He is faithful, that He keeps His promises, that He loves us, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, that He's a doctor in a sick room. He's a healer. Anybody know that? He is a deliverer. He has set us free. He is faithful to His word. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says it like this: but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. I want to say that again. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. Can you just scream out, the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. We've got to hold fast. Remember that picture of holding fast, anchoring one hand, and with the other, we're helping other people to know that it's going to be all right, that God is with us. We will let nothing turn us away from the confession testament of our faith, nothing, no matter how much tribulation comes our way, no matter how much pressures come our way, that's what the Spirit is speaking to these Christians that are going through. And this is the same for us in the society. I know there's a lot to be afraid of, but please understand that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a love and of sound mind. We can trust him. Edward Mode in 1834 wrote this: "My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils this lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within his veil." I love this. Here it is. He's faithful. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, can anybody say on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I want to say that on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hold fast. Man, let me pull this all together. Hebrews 10:24. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." A final point of the day: believers encourage each other. Yes, believers encourage each other. Now this is critical as we look at that 24th verse again. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." We got to find ways to stir up love and good works in one another. It's that picture of holding fast. We're anchoring ourselves, but with the other hand, we're assisting someone. I don't know if you ever had somebody kind of slap you on the back to encourage you and say, "Go ahead, you can make it." That's the same picture here. We've got to stir up. Maybe it's sending someone a card. Maybe it's texting someone. Maybe it's calling someone. This whole process of stirring up love and good works, or encouraging, or maybe God has given you insight to be able to see a gift in someone and how it's being manifested, and you call that thing out. Whatever, we're supposed to stir it up. But in this verse 25, it's profound. It really gives us the major way that we can stir up our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at this, Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, I want to deal with that. The fellowship is so important. Thank God for this virtual connection. And in some ways, we can stir up one another by partaking in the chat. But please understand, we need the connection. We need to come together every now and then where we can physically see people and we can encourage them. No man in Ireland, and because of that, we need to hear people say it's going to be all okay. We need to connect physically. There's something about a handshake. There's something about an embrace. We learned that during COVID-19 for so many, especially if they didn't have people within their household. It was traumatic for them because it caused all kinds of depression, not being able to get out. They say that, I don't know how they did this study, if a child is not touched and embraced, it will actually die. And so we need the fellowship of the assembly. But notice that second part: "and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Man, the Spirit is bringing out to these Christians that it's getting close. And this was in 64, 68 AD. But think about, here we are in 2023 as we're seeing strange things, atmospheric rivers in the air. We're seeing snow in California. We're seeing storms like never before. We're seeing the murder rate go up in so many instances and places. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars. All of these things are occurring in this time. We see the Lord's approaching soon. And I'm telling you, it is time for us to make sure that we're stirring up one another in love and good works. Dr. Woodrow Noel, he actually writes a challenging thought of Hebrews 10:25. Listen to this:
Further, the importance of assembling is both subjective and objective. It benefits the individual with spiritual stability and growth. It benefits objectively by its positive effect on others. The church meeting is far more than a place for one to be entertained or to hear, for these can be accomplished through radio or television or internet or virtual connection. The purpose for the assembly is for participation in worship and fellowship and with one another. Attendance is necessary. The church is a body interacting, not merely a granary for dispensing of food. There's something about when we can get on the same page and we can be able to celebrate the Lord and all that he's doing. I'm telling you, as I conclude this, I want to encourage you to encourage your brothers and sisters in the Lord as you're holding fast, making sure that you're stable in the Lord. You need to reach out and encourage somebody else. You need to reach out and say that God is faithful. You need to reach out and let them know that God is changing us from the inside out as we live the life of the believer. The life of the believer is centered on, you know his name, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who came from heaven to earth and walked among men. I'm so glad he is the one that gives us the example of holding fast. Even when the Pharisees and Sadducees came against him and tried to catch him in his word, Jesus held fast and he still encouraged others that were around him. Remember, Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, cries out to the Father, "Not my will, but let thy will be done." He was holding fast. Remember when he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot? He didn't fight back. He held fast. On the Via Dolorosa, he was beaten all night long and spit on. He could have called Gabriel and legions of angels to set him free, but he held fast for us. On the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, he held fast for us. And I'm so glad that on that cross he carried our griefs and bore our pains. I'm so glad on that cross of Calvary he gave up the ghost and said it was finished. They put him in a cold grave, but he got up on the third day with all power and glory. There ought to be some shouts of praise and saying, "God, I thank you for that." The Chicago Mass choirs, we sum this all up. They sang this song, "Time is filled with swift transition. None on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal and then hold on to God's unchanging hand." Are there any folks that we gonna hold on to his hand? Trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever the years may bring, when your earthly friends forsake you, still more closely to him clean. Then it goes, everybody ought to hold to his hand. God's unchanging. I'm talking about hold fast. Hold to his hands, God's unchanging hand. Build your hope on things eternal. Just hold to God's unchanging hand. I'm telling you, God wants us to stand strong in times like these. Hold fast. Saints, as we're securing ourselves, I need you to look around and see those who are struggling. Reach out to them and encourage them. Pull them up. We've been studying in our Bible studies on Thursdays this whole thought that love covers a multitude of sins. And as we experience hospitality and embracing, we can understand people can grow with each other as Christians, and we can truly live a life of a believer. If you don't know Christ today, I beckon you. We talked about this scripture in the message. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. You will be saved, for it's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Please accept that gift today. Your life will be changed. And then you can learn this holding fast and encouraging others. For the believers, the saints today, we've got to do more for Christ. We've got to draw near. We've got to hold fast the confession of our faith. We've got to decide once and for all that we're going to encourage others, because we know that our God is so, so faithful. And because of that, we want the world to know that he's coming back again on a cloud where every eye can see them. Saints of God, let's decide today that we're going to hold fast. We're going to stand in spite of the pressures, and we're going to allow God to shine through us in a mighty way. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you as you encourage the Christians that were going through in that season and time. Thank you. You're encouraging us now. Lord, we truly want to be an example of who you are. Lord, thank you for enabling us to hold fast. Thank you for the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, but yet got up on that third day with all power and glory. Thank you for revival in our lives. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
These are the days of Elisha, declaring the word of the Lord, yes. And these are the days of his servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword. And we are the children in the desert, crying, be crying the word of the Lord. Behold, yes, shining like the sun at the trumpet sound. Lift your voice, just to hear out of Zion's hill. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh, yes. And these are the days of his servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world. And we are the laborers in the vineyard, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, yes, shining like the sun at the trumpet's call. Lift your voice, it's the year out of Zion's hill. Behold, he comes, yeah, shining like the sun at the trumpet's call. Lift your voice, it's the year out of Zion's hill. Salvation comes. I see ya. You all have already got with this. How many of you know there's no God like our God? How many of you know there's no God like Jehovah? All right, if you know that, you can help us sing this. It goes something like this. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God. Nobody like him. 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 No. No, not Allah. No, not Buddha. No God like him. No God like him. He walks on water, kills the sick, raises the dead. But I see him, not like him. Nobody like him. Nobody like him. Like Jehovah. Behold, he, yeah, riding on the cloud at the trumpet sound. Lift your voice, it's the year out of Zion's hill.